It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Thursday. What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Means a lot. Your boy is back from Arlington, Texas, in the All-Star festivities. So we are back at full strength in our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard. What's up, Danny?
Welcome home, buddy. We're sitting here before the show starts going, it's a little bit slow, maybe, sort of general stuff, kind of check the oil on the Nationals. Let's figure this out and that out. Head on a swivel, dude. News has broken. Jason Wright is gone at some point, whether it's the end of the season or if he gets a job before then. But Jason Wright, no longer the team president. Pretty big deal.
Yeah, which we should probably get right into. We will remind everybody that we've got a great prize we've been giving away all week long. Danny's been handing out the caller 10s, the Fugees at Jiffy Lube Live. And we've got another pair for the August 23rd show. We'll give those away today at 4 o'clock out of the Beltway Blitz. But yeah, the Washington Post, just about 30 minutes ago, breaking the story, we can corroborate here at 106.7 The Fan that Jason Wright, who became the face of the Commanders when they tried to transform their workplace culture after he was hired 4 years ago as the first black team president in NFL history, is moving out of that role. And from what I'm told, he will be with the team in as an advisor, but not as the team president for this year. If he gets a gig he likes, wants to leave, they will help him do so. But Danny, it sounds like he's going to be around this football season in a different role, that his run as team president is ending, and that he will then no longer be with the team as of the end of this season. From the Washington Post piece, and this is what you and I were speculating about a couple weeks ago, his contract was set to expire in August. He took over in August, which stands to reason, right, that maybe you sign a four-year deal, that the contract is up. And so I guess maybe you sign him to a one-year deal in this new role. Instead of being the team president, you're an advisor. We'll keep you around for this year. You can help transition us into whoever they're going to hire. And they will immediately begin a search for a team president that's going to be led by Tad Brown, who's the chief executive of Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, who runs a lot of Josh Harris's sports ventures. And I've seen him out at the park. Every big day that's happened, every big press conference, he's been there at Josh Harris's side. So he, and I'm sure Harris, already have ideas and people they want to interview. I don't know what that's going to look like in terms of, you know, the team president. Is it someone that's run an NFL team before? Is it going to be someone with, you know, a business background in running clubs? Obviously, even though Jason Wright played in the NFL, Danny, he had no past resume running an organization, and then he took over running one of the pillars in the NFL.
Yeah, so it was an interesting time, a precarious time for him to come in. Basically, tasked with, after the missile hit, right, after all the rubble was there and everything was in flames and it was as bad as an organization could possibly be, hey, man, clean that up. Good luck. Right? So he became the face because Dan Snyder had to go into hiding or hang out on his yacht or stand trial or settle lawsuits or a million other things that weren't owning a team.
He didn't have to go home. He just wasn't allowed to be here.
Yeah, you can't hang out in front of us. So Jason Wright became their representative at league meetings, the guy that was the spokesman. I mean, if you think about that, we're just going to stage an informal video in front of one of these stadiums, and we're thinking about a stadium, and Dan Snyder talked for 5 seconds, and Jason Wright said, actually, here's what we're doing, like, just because Dan was going to put his foot in his mouth. And so he became this, you know, larger figure than most team presidents are. It's a big role. It's a big job. But usually it's I'm meeting with the guy that might buy a suite, or I'm meeting with Chiniga Mayos, or I'm meeting with, AOL, whatever, to talk about sponsorships and things. Not the guy that's out front making every statement, sort of speaking on behalf of the team. So, listen, he was always great to us. Very kind and forthcoming. He's a really nice person, was always kind to me. But a lot of fans, for the stuff that they saw, didn't go well. There's no way around that, right? So the stuff that behind the scenes that we'll never know, that, hey, he increased seat licensing ship by X amount, Doesn't do anything for me. The stuff that we saw that were touch points with the fans, there was a lot of negative in there. And that's kind of how people are going to remember it, I think.
Yeah, I think the most public-facing things that mattered the most to his constituents, for lack of a better word, you know, to his consumers, either didn't go well or the perception was that they didn't go seamlessly. I'm thinking about things as big as the rebrand and the name change and the new logo and an entirely new brand that now we're stuck with perhaps in perpetuity, and as small as just individual days at the stadium when you're honoring Sean Taylor, when there was, you know, a snafu and people were upset and all of a sudden now you're retiring Sean Taylor's jersey when that was clearly not the plan, and then his family's taking a picture in front of a porta potty. And those are kind of the worst of, if you will, the lowlights that get put on his ledger, you know, when they're unveiling this big statue is the expectation for the activation for Taylor, and it turned out to be a mannequin from a Dick's Sporting Goods. Like, that couldn't have gone worse, obviously. Does it mean he's bad at his job? No, not necessarily. But when you ask fans about Jason Wright's tenure, they're going to mention the things that they see, the tangible, very public things that were tied to him. And he might have done a whale of a job. They might have had more growth in the last few years in terms of season tickets and business stuff and getting advertisers back. And frankly, that's his real job. Like, that's the thing that matters more. But to the average fan, and certainly to people like you and I on the outside looking in, the public-facing stuff is really what we're going to consider to be your win-loss record. And there were too many gaffes early. I think they cleaned that up with the new ownership group. There have not been those since, which tells you maybe the chaos and the stench of Snyder just made life difficult. But it really didn't matter. It was too late, and sometimes perception is more important than reality. It just seemed like they screwed a lot of things up.
They did. There's no way around that. Sometimes it's up to interpretation. Like, for example, I didn't love that artist rendering of the Sean Taylor jersey thing. It wasn't for me, but somebody, you could go to an art museum and go, that painting's great. And someone could look at the same thing and go, I don't like it. That's eye of the beholder type stuff.
That one's tough, though. You might have to find someone who's a big fan of mannequins at department stores.
Yeah, to me, it's a no, like, but maybe somebody that has an advanced art degree could tell me, well, it's abstract and it means this. I have no idea. I'm just trying to offer it. The one that I focused on that nobody seemed to care about that much was the ones with typing errors, the ones with their heroes in jerseys of other teams, or an image where Doug Williams was left-handed for their 100 greatest. If a freshman in high school turned in that report, he would fail. Like, that's a professional football team with the easiest layup that there is, honoring the 100 greatest in some sort of little online dealio to get people excited, and they couldn't do the most basic thing, which is spell check, which is, you know, just have somebody cross-reference. And it was emblematic of
clerical errors.
Yeah,
is what it was.
Of shoddy work, having something be hastily done. And then the biggest one, which we've hit on a bunch, no institutional memory. The people that were going to make these massive changes, and if you were a jerk if you pointed out at the time, didn't have the blood, sweat, and the tears, didn't have the highs, didn't have the lows, didn't have the heartbreak, didn't have the great moments of history with this team. One of the guys, a slick consultant, was here for a year and a half and is like, I oversaw one of the great rebrands in the history of mankind onto the MLS San Diego. Tweet, what? Like, that guy's already gone.
Yeah, well,
a tourist.
Just about everybody involved in the rebrand is gone. And Wright is still here for the moment for this season, but he will be gone, we now know. And so it's almost universal. I mean, you could go person by person, all the videos certainly that we saw, and let's hand Ron Rivera the images and let's look at the mock-ups. Everyone in all of those videos is gone. And this was my biggest gripe from day one. Who is running this rebrand that has a real legitimate stake in this? Not a passerby, you know, not somebody who is going to be here today, gone tomorrow, not a hired gun because they were really good at some law firm or they look great in a suit or because, you know, you need to go find the sharpest that are the easiest to sell at the press conference. Uh-uh. Who is the person with the, you know, the burgundy and gold tattoo on their arm that's still here caring? And I remember talking to Jason Wright about this multiple times. And I said to him, I said, man, I think a lot of the mistakes that are being made here are just because you don't have anybody around you who can go, dude, You can't get the Sean Taylor thing wrong. It means something different to this group of people. You have to. This is personal. This is like a, you know, when you, this is going to sound terrible, and I apologize for the analogy, but I think you'll get it. It's like if you go to a funeral and the preacher like says the person's name wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
There is a disrespect and just a get this guy off that stage as fast as possible because I want to punch him in the jaw because he just called my dad Dennis Daniel. Or you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yep.
Like that's kind of what you did with Sean Taylor a little bit. And if you had enough people around you going, hey, this is emotional. This is not a safety that played 4 years. This is different.
Yeah, it's not a player that played here. This is something else.
And I feel that way more than anything else about the rebrand, where it was Ron Rivera. He's a 85 Bear. He's a Carolina Panther. He was here for a couple decent, you know, mediocre, non-playoff-type seasons, right? Jason Wright is a sharp guy. My point was always, and maybe I'll be right, maybe I'll be wrong, he could be a senator or do whatever he's going to do in 10 years, but it ain't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
There just weren't enough people who care. So we're stuck with this thing. You guys came in, you know, we're sitting there, and you drop in and tell us how to rearrange our house and where to put everything and what kind of furniture we need, and then you leave and we're not allowed to do anything for 20 years in this home. No, thank you. That was my annoyance, my aggravation. It's what I thought that group got the most wrong right away. I think they've worked on that some, and they certainly do a better job, you know, now reaching out to some people to bounce things off of them. But also the big difference is, I think, that the new ownership group has some of that institutional knowledge with Harris, with Rails, with mm-hmm. Ein, with lifers in the DMV, and more so than anything else, to quote Ron Rivera, more so than anything else, okay, they're tied to people who care and people who have been here. They can pick up the phone because they are from this area and go, hey, what do you guys think about this? And they, you cut them open, they bleed burgundy and gold. Maybe not to the extent that, you know, someone in Section 317 does. You know, they're businessmen now, and they've gone on to live in other cities or whatever. But it's different and it's better. But we're stuck with this name, this logo, this thing that was given to us by a bunch of people in fancy suits that are coming and going. And that always sat wrong with me.
Yeah, the Hog Ownership Group, one of their first touch points is like Daryl Green retirement, jersey retirement ceremony. Masterfully done, incredible, you know, eyes glistening all over the DMV, right? Totally. Just, it's a different story to your point. I had as a political science major at the George Washington University, I remember I had a class on the presidency years ago, and the cabinet and everybody that gets together to advise the president, everybody brings their skill set to the table. But at the end of the day, Department of Defense is going to argue for defense action. State Department is going to argue for diplomacy. Everybody that comes and sits at that meeting brings their thing, and then it's up to the commander-in-chief to weigh the best option. Who was hired? The consultant. A consultant then went into the consulting world and brought other consultants. We shouldn't have been surprised we got consultant behavior. In other words, they're sitting there high-fiving because the activation got, you know, 47,000 retweets. Not all positive. A lot of fans going, what the hell is this? What are we doing? But they're going, activation, synergy, and all these terms that you pay thousands of dollars an hour for to a consulting firm to you know, that you're supposed to be really impressed by.
Who was the guy that you referenced?
Will Middlebrooks. Missilebrooks.
No, Will Middlebrooks played for the Boston Red Sox.
So it's like Middlebrooks, but Missile or something.
I don't know the guy.
Right.
I know everyone in that building. I don't know that guy, okay? Whoever that guy is was here for like 11 seconds.
Seriously.
But he claimed, I remember we looked it up when he left and went to another team,
mm-hmm.
that the rebrand was the greatest rebrand in sports history.
And he had some analytic to prove it that's based on the way consultants operate.
Did he?
My answer to that is no. But secondly, in his mind, probably yes, because that's what he was hired to do. And that was the mistake. Now, I understand you needed that PR ability. You needed someone to navigate the murkiest waters probably in sports history.
Well, that's another thing, right? That I do want to acknowledge, and people will hate this part of it, and that's okay, because I have no problem occasionally being hated, which I think is necessary because people just want to hear what they want to hear. But I think it's our job to point everything out. Jason Wright's job wasn't easy. Wright had a terribly hard job.
Correct.
Working for Dan Snyder is mission impossible. Being a team president at a time, during a rebrand, during the COVID season with no fans, during a period where the fan base had cratered, like, that's a bad job.
Yeah, it's a tough task.
Take the job because he got paid, I would imagine, millions of dollars. And frankly, because you're not getting another team president job anywhere else at that point. You'd never really been on the radar as a team president. You kind of came from obscurity to get the gig. I'm not knocking him for taking the job, but it is not an easy job.
No.
That having been said, you call balls and strikes. I think they did a lot of things poorly early on. I think they did some things well to try to get some people back there. Is it a better place to work than it was when he showed up? I would imagine unequivocally, yes. Is it a bigger now season ticket base, and are things about the experience improved? I would say yes and probably to those two things. There's still a lot of work to be done if you talk to season ticket holders. But, you know, it's a glacial pace, if you will. And it's also easy to improve from having been just a utter disaster. They were down to like single-digit thousands of season ticket holders from what I was told. At one point, it was like 9 or 10. I think it was like 8 to 10,000
of like real ones. The guys like, that actually use the tickets, go to the games,
exactly,
not like get them and sell them on StubHub.
Legitimate human being, fan of the team, season ticket holders was the number that I'd heard at one point.
And it should be 4 or 5 times that.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So when you're at rock bottom, and then, oh, by the way, you fire a coach, you hire a new coach, you have an offseason, you draft a quarterback too, like some of the things they've been doing, you should be able to push some tickets and have some growth. They would tell you their metrics show them that they've made some of the most growth in the last few years. Is that because they're going from such a low bar that inevitably, like if your ERA is 10 and now your ERA is 6, you're one of the most improved pitchers in baseball. You still can't get people out. I don't know if it's that or if it's that they're now kicking butt. I know that when this new ownership group initially looked at the books for the first time, they couldn't believe what they saw. Right? I mean, it was like so bad. And there was so much work from a business standpoint. They bought this thing as the layup that is, we're getting into the NFL game. We can't miss. And then you get to look at the books after the purchase for the first time and you go, oh my goodness.
Oh dear God.
This is so much worse than we thought.
Yeah. And again, that doesn't, as you like to say, put the Triscuit crackers in any fan's stomach. They don't care about that. They, you know, would like to have a good game day experience and the team wins sometimes. But the point I was going to make before was they went so consultant and outsider heavy that you got a consultant and outsider heavy process. There was never any balance to that. And that to me was the glaring error. And then it manifested itself in a number of errors. Those public facing, fan touching kind of moments were embarrassments. They were punchlines. They, you know, 2-2-22, probably in their minds right now, they still think of it as a success. In our minds, we're going, what an embarrassing foible-filled letdown that was.
I would love to know that. And maybe there will be a time when, in the future, when he's no longer with the team, we can sit down with Jason and say, 2-2-22, win or loss.
He'll go, we're on the Today Show, man. We're on the Today Show. We're being interviewed live at our stadium on the Today Show. The exposure, global brand, and then use a bunch of words that make you and me feel stupid.
But so that's another point, though, that I think is good, is that view of how to handle that, like national TV, Today Show, right, is what they brought in.
Yeah, that's the consultant.
And it was wrong.
Yep.
Not to say that Jason couldn't have done it another way, but he hired all people that thought that way. That day should not have been about the Today Show. That day should have been about doing something on the mall with thousands of fans around you in seats, right? And doing something to really appeal to your base. Not viewing your brand as global and letting the guy in Belgium know at the same time as Beltsville, you know, what the name of the Commanders was going to be.
Precisely. But again, that was the mentality. That's the thinking. And there's room for that, by the way, to think big, to grow, to engage in all those sorts of things. They never had a seat at the table for people that give a damn about this. That as you've said very well, and I've said it a million times, I'm going to be here for the next guy too. 17 presidents for now, God willing, I'm still alive and kicking on this planet. I'll still care about the team and that guy will have a different job. That's my point. For every coach, for every guy that comes in and whines about, like, where's my immediate support? Where are people just, retweeting everything I say and applauding me just for existing? Dude, I got too much pain behind me. You know what I mean? I have too much doubt. I have too much skepticism based on decades of seeing a million of you come in here and tell me how different it's going
to
be.
I gave you your benefit of the doubt to Ron Rivera, Dan.
Yeah.
Sorry, DQ.
You know what I mean?
You want your benefit of the doubt, go look in Rivera's top drawer.
My hope died with Mike Shanahan, and that's 100% a fact. Like, if that guy couldn't fix it, I'm going, it's not fixable. And it wasn't until we had a new owner that now I actually think something's possible again.
I think today was probably inevitable the moment this ownership group took over.
I think so, too.
here's what is becoming evident, too. They're not really firing people, it doesn't seem like. They're letting contracts run out in some of the bigger positions. I told you this with the Marty Party. Remember you wanted the Marty Party gone really bad?
Oh, yes, still do.
And I said, I've been told Josh Harris does not like paying people not to work. They will find a new job for you, and they'll give you a new title, and you'll hang around, and if they have a question, they'll call you. But they're going to pay you what you were supposed to be paid, and you're going to keep showing up, essentially. That's the vibe I'm getting, right? They're head of
100%.
Basically all things media relations within the last month. Again, we're close to the finish line of the offseason here. Just left. Now today, it's Jason Wright's news. You know, a lot of this you would think would have been done within the first couple days after the season or after the coaching search, and it didn't work out that way. But we hear that his contract is up next month. It seems like they're letting people, for lack of a better phrase, play out these contracts, and then they're kind of finding an exit for you in a somewhat dignified, classy way, which I think is respectable.
Something to be said for that.
No problem with that. I know a lot of people just want heads on platters, but if someone isn't a detriment to the operation, if they're doing decent work and or a decent person to be around, then I don't know why there's any reason that you can't handle them that way. The only thing about that is a lot of times they're not going to be privy to everything because you just don't want them leaving with knowledge about your operation that can expose anything that you're doing. So there's only so much they're going to be involved in anyway. You don't want too many people that are uninvolved just kind of sitting at their desk,
right?
I suppose. But we can open up the phones on this. This news broke just before we came on. The MGM National Harbor listener line's available to you right now at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. How did you feel about Jason Wright's presidency? Success? Not a success? And what would you say was the highlight, the low light? Throw something out there that was really good that they accomplished and something that you wish there was a mulligan for. That's next on Grant and Danny.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News came down within the last hour that Jason Wright is out as the president of the Washington Commanders. He took over in 2020, did release a statement he will remain with the team this year, it sounds like, as a senior advisor. This is what Jason Wright said in his statement. Quote, I am incredibly proud of what we have accomplished over the past 4 years. Together with an amazing team of professionals, we have taken this franchise through a period of immense challenge and uncertainty and have transformed it. We've set the table for an incredibly bright future under Josh Harris's leadership. Over just the past year, we've welcomed a record number of fans back into our building, made meaningful improvements to the fan experience, re-engaged with corporate partners, and reconnected with the community. Most importantly, we re-established a culture of respect in this organization. Given all those accomplishments, that's why I am proud to announce that I will remain with the team throughout the 2024-2025 season with the same responsibilities. In particular, I look forward to helping the organization complete its new stadium deal. This feels like the right moment for me to explore my next leadership opportunity. I'm extremely grateful to my Commanders colleagues, our fans, and this community for all that we have accomplished these past 4 years, and I'm looking forward to the start of a very successful season for the Burgundy and Gold. That is Jason Wright's statement that he released this afternoon.
That is, I was thinking about what you said before the break about how this ownership group is operating. A lot of times for someone that's annoyed, that like lives and breathes this, but doesn't get paid to do so as a fan, you want your satisfaction. Like you want your pound of flesh. And sometimes it's okay to get that red meat, aka while we're just waiting on Rivera to finish out the season and everyone knows he's not coming back, just make me happy and shoot him into the sun one time. Make me happy and tell a Marty that his services are no longer required. Just give me some candy. But they are operating in a way where we're allowing a guy that I don't think they had much intention, in retrospect, thinking about it, of retaining and bringing back. I think we saw the writing on the wall when he was a finalist for that Green Bay job, talking about Jason Wright, where he's being allowed to explore and flirt, and there's nobody stopping you, right? Anything that's that public that comes out, that you were a candidate somewhere else, I don't know how many of you guys out there have changed jobs, but that's not the normal course of business. I know it's the NFL, it's a different animal, and things get reported on, but if you work for, the advisory firm, and you're going to the consulting firm, there's no big flirtation. It all kind of happens hush-hush until you make the announcement. Him being out there and noted as a finalist, that's almost a marketing thing for himself, right? Hey, I was included. I was almost here, and the team's going fairly well. That's fine. Letting him cut a promo like that, a statement like that, basically saying, do what you want. We're not here to make you look bad. We're not firing anybody. You can go out on your own terms, and I put that in quotations.
So I think he had plenty of wins, but I think they were all very minor things that he controlled. Like, he's a really good dude. He was good to fans. He would show up at fan tailgates when they asked him to. He would come to events on the road sometimes that weren't even sponsored by the team. Like, he had a club in the bag where he was, I think, very good to fans that he built relationships with. And I think that that's smart and that's necessary. And I thought his decency in a lot of ways with fans generally was a nice departure. And he was tangible in a way that the previous president, Bruce Allen, and some that have come before him were not. So I think that's a win. But the biggest games he played in, if you will, the biggest losses came on the biggest stages. The stadium deal. Where are we? What is going on with the stadium? He mentions the stadium deal in this statement. It seems like there's not really progress being made right now. I'm sure there is behind the scenes, and I'm not telling you it's his fault. I'm just saying that when you think Jason Wright team president, the first thing you think of is probably the rebrand. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Are people happy about that? The second thing is the stadium. And so even if you have 20 wins on the little teeny tiny games that you played, when your Super Bowls went the way that these couple have, that's going to be the legacy, probably.
Yeah, where are they playing and what are they called? So far, incomplete and F.
So I said we should give out one thing that went well, one thing that didn't, one good, one bad from his presidency. And then we'll hit the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number. For the good, I will say the effort and the fan relatability, right? That you could reach him. He was way more willing to engage. In any capacity.
Yes.
For myself, like, we had him on the show several times. We couldn't get Bruce Allen on the show if we paid him $1 million in appearance. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Every media member in this town who covers this team at a level above a certain threshold had time with Jason Wright multiple times over. Like, he was willing to chat. Fans, I think, had a ton of experiences with him. That's good. That's controllable. The bad would be, and I'm debating between 2-2-22, the Sean Taylor day, or I guess just the fact that there's not only still not been groundbroken, but there's no stadium deal. I just got to go with 2-2-22 and folding chairs at the 50-yard line and we're the Commanders. And ha-ha, that whole thing will just always eat at me. It always will. There's nothing anyone can say at me to make me feel better about that.
Good is a human being at a time of the most embarrassment, the most turmoil, the most awful a pro sports organization maybe has ever had it, right? Where you go, pandemic, a million investigations, Dan Snyder ruining everything at absolute rock bottom. Here is somebody that, as you said, is approachable, thoughtful, at least, you know, kind enough to talk to you, whether, you know, I left the room and he said names about me, I have no idea, but at least would give you the time of day, right? Where you saw a face, not some dude in the ivory tower just sort of pulling the string here and there and rumors of him liking a quarterback or otherwise coming down to ruin it. He was there, right? During a time where we needed somebody to talk to us, he did. You know what I mean? Like, a sort of crisis management. I think that was honestly a really tough situation. I think he did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, previous white knights were always in the football operation. And he was the guy they sold you for hope, and he was on the business.
Yeah, and La Famina was that, but he quite literally lasted 6.5 months. That happened. So it's hard to believe that it's going to be real, and then here's Jason Wright there time after time after time and didn't run afoul of Bruce Allen, so he got the axe. The negative, you touched on the specific, the general, I think, is very easy. Any kind of institutional memory touch point, any time it was, hey, the fans care about this, this has to do with the org, the team, before you and long after you, here's a chance to show them. Swing and a miss. I mean, you can go up and down the board. It was a consistent Joey Gallo-esque batting average.
Well, you know what we didn't mention yet, at the risk of piling on, is the dates on the crest initially.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned a lot about clerical errors with the 100 greatest or whatever that was, 90 greatest, where just names wrong, positions wrong, whatever. The years of the Super Bowls being wrong on the original crest of the reveal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if someone got fired that day. And you know, I'm Mr. Don't Call for Jobs. That's one of those that's tough to come back to work the next day. If that was your thing, like, hey, Danny, is the crest ready? Hey, Danny, how's the crest looking? Whoever that guy, whoever Danny is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Danny, are we ready for the big reveal?
It's looking good. I got the Super Bowl years on there. Now, what do you mean you got them on there? Yeah, the year they actually won the Super Bowl. Well, is it different than the nomenclature that everyone that's ever followed football uses it? Yes, it is. All right, let's roll it out.
You guys are next. We want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. We'll hop out of the way. We want to hear your assessment of the Jason Wright presidency, best and worst, from his 4 years running the operation. We're Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny with you on this Thursday on the Fan. Jason Wright out as team president in his four-year run with the Commanders. Jason Wright in his statement today saying that the team welcomed a record number of fans back into the building and made meaningful improvements to the fan experience. We were asking you guys how you felt about his presidency. Give us something you liked, something you didn't at 800-636-1067. Our buddy Disco is in Laurel on GND. Hey, Disco, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
So a couple of points. I think we need to look. First of all, I think, Grant, you said this. No one has succeeded under Dan Snyder in any capacity. So I think that's the disclaimer that you start with. I think Jason Wright was an NFL implant into an organization, if you remember at the time, was the worst in maybe the worst in professional sports history.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that now, as you've mentioned, that doesn't mean he had some missteps. He had many missteps, but I don't think that there was any path for him to succeed. When people criticize Jason Wright, the first question I ask were two questions. What did he come here to do, and what was there to sell? If he came here to clean up the organization and the culture, then I don't think we're paying attention to that. The second thing is, what was there to sell? That's the other thing. And then the last thing on the rebrand, definitely some missteps on the rebrand. I think it could have been done better, but I also think that no matter, they could have had Joe Gibbs trot out the new name. It was going to flop because it came from Daniel Snyder. So anything that was trotted out was not going to be received well. And then going back to my question, what was there to sell? Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate buddy. You. Good call, as always.
Yeah, I think that you and I are in lockstep largely in our disclaimer part of the Jason Wright discussion, because I always start with that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an impossible job. How well can you do the job that no one can do well? That's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah, clean up the uncleanable room.
Where it sounds like maybe, I don't want to say we differ, but I'm a little bit more down on the performance maybe than Disco is. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong. Again, I want truth serum and a two-hour conversation with Jason Wright at some point. I don't think Dan Snyder was nearly as involved in choosing Commanders. I think that was a Jason Wright and his team operation. It really doesn't matter. I thought that the rebrand itself was not done well and executed poorly, and the name itself is not good enough. And so that all gets an F from me, right? Also, the clerical errors we talk about, the ears being wrong, all that stuff. Dan Snyder has nothing to do with
and
any of
that. And that's where I was going to go. That's why when you hear me criticize, which I think I do it fairly, by the way, I'm not going, they could have sold a few more season tickets, or they didn't do enough luxury suite sales or sponsorships. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth because I don't know.
Yeah, he did clean up, to Disco's point. The organization, they blew out a lot of the bad actors.
Yep.
You know, they were clearly, by all accounts of people that work there currently, it is a more comfortable, just professional, not harassment, crazed place to work. Like, all of that is good and is part of why he came here, but a lot of the other bigger things just didn't go that well. How much of that is because it is the hardest job in the world to work for Dan Snyder and do it well? Probably a lot. But Dan Snyder didn't want them to screw up the Sean Taylor thing. Dan Snyder didn't build the mannequin that looked like it was at Dick's modeling off cleats. I mean, some of that stuff, it's easy to blame Dan, but it ain't all Dan.
Right. Yeah, and you'll never hear me defend Snyder. He's the worst. I cannot stand him. And everything that he touched turns worse. But he's not there in the meeting, to your point about, hey, let's have the Taylor family take the picture in front of the porta potty. That's not like a Snyder directive. That's just a miss, right? Those are controllable things where I think Jason Wright missed.
Let's go to Johnny in Silver Spring. Johnny. Grant and Danny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
You know, it's kind of tough to follow the guy who just went, but I was going to say, Jason, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, what are we talking about? He changed the name to the freaking Commanders. That's terrible. You know, he changed the burgundy and gold to, like, red and just pink on the white uniforms. I don't know what's going on there. And, I mean, frankly, it's just this whole, like, he's a nice guy thing. It's not good enough. What does that do for anyone?
Understood.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I get that reaction.
Yeah, and again, for the fan that isn't going to the office with the now Washington Commanders, you're watching on Sunday, you read a couple articles, listen to us, whatever, that doesn't help you at all. And that's kind of the point I come back to. The moments where there's a bridge from the org, here's the outreach, or here's the moment where you're having a fan touch point, one of these activations that he was so proud of, those went poorly. So if I'm a fan and my only perception of somebody is the thing that you're in charge of generally failed, I'm not going to have a great opinion of you. I understand that.
So, and that's what I would go back to is, you know, when he says, or he puts a couple of things like on Jason Wright, maybe it wasn't all him. Like, I don't know if Disco's right or wrong when he says Commanders is Daniel Snyder's cross to bear. Maybe Dan Snyder came up with it, maybe it didn't. But in the same way that when you're a head coach, the win or the loss goes on your record, you didn't throw the pick.
Right.
The rebrand was Jason Wright's. He was the one on the radio explaining why they did what they did with the stitching, why this Comic Sans print, I'm making this up, represents the Third Ward of D.C., and, you know, this color here represents the rivers in Virginia. You remember that whole stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was all Jason Wright. He's explaining it all. He's the face. He's the guy behind it. We did this. I talked to this person. We had this panel. They told us that this one has grown in their eyes over time. We had it on the bottom of the scroll like it was going to be on ESPN to see what it would look like next to a Browns helmet after a Browns game. He was the one telling you all that. And right or wrong, good or bad, he takes a lot of arrows. Maybe it wasn't him. That was the gig. You got to give it to somebody. Dan was on a yacht somewhere, and the yacht tracker was chasing him down, you know, in far-off lands. And Jason Wright was the one holding those meetings. 800-636-1067. How do you feel about his presidency? What does today mean for the name? We should get into that as well on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Grant and Danny with you on this Thursday on The Fan. Jason Wright out as team president. In his four-year run with the Commanders, Jason Wright in his statement today saying that the team welcomed a record number of fans back into the building and made meaningful improvements to the fan experience. We were asking you guys how you felt about his presidency. Give us something you liked, something you didn't at 800-636-1067. Our buddy Disco is in Laurel on GND. Hey, Disco, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, buddy, what's up?
Hey, so a couple of points.
I think we need to look. So first of all, and I think, Grant, you said this, no one has succeeded under Dan Snyder in any capacity. So I think that's the disclaimer that you start with. I think Jason Wright was an NFL implant into an organization, if you remember at the time, was the worst in maybe the worst in professional sports history.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that now, as you've mentioned, that doesn't mean he had some missteps. He had many missteps, but I don't think that there was any path for him to succeed. When people criticize Jason Wright, the first question I ask were two questions. What did he come here to do, and what was there to sell? If he came here to clean up the organization and the culture, then I don't think we're paying attention to that. The second thing is, what was there to sell? That's the other thing. And then the last thing on the rebrand, definitely some missteps on the rebrand. I think it could have been done better, but I also think that no matter, they could have had Joe Gibbs trot out the new name. It was going to flop because it came from Daniel Snyder. So anything that was trotted out was not going to be received well. And then going back to my question, what was there to sell? Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate buddy. You. Good call, as always.
Yeah, I think that you and I are in lockstep largely in our disclaimer part of the Jason Wright discussion, because I always start with that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an impossible job. How well can you do the job that no one can do well? That's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah, clean up the uncleanable room.
Where it sounds like maybe, I don't want to say we differ, but I'm a little bit more down on the performance maybe than Disco is. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong. Again, I want truth serum and a two-hour conversation with Jason Wright at some point. I don't think Dan Snyder was nearly as involved in choosing Commanders. I think that was a Jason Wright and his team operation. It really doesn't matter. I thought that the rebrand itself was not done well and executed poorly, and the name itself is not good enough. And so that all gets an F from me, right? Also, the clerical errors we talk about, the
right.
Ears being wrong, all that stuff. Dan Snyder has nothing to do with
and
any of
that. And that's where I was going to go. That's why when you hear me criticize, which I think I do it fairly, by the way, I'm not going, they could have sold a few more season tickets, or they didn't do enough luxury suite sales or sponsorships. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth because I don't know.
Yeah, he did clean up, to Disco's point. The organization, they blew out a lot of the bad actors.
Yep.
You know, they were clearly, by all accounts of people that work there currently, it is a more comfortable, just professional, not harassment-crazed place to work. Like, all of that is good and is part of why he came here, but a lot of the other bigger things just didn't go that well. How much of that is because it is the hardest job in the world to work for Dan Snyder and do it well? Probably a lot, but Dan Snyder didn't want them to screw up the Sean Taylor thing. Dan Snyder didn't build the mannequin that looked like it was at Dick's modeling off cleats. I mean, some of that stuff, it's easy to blame Dan, but it ain't all Dan.
Right. Yeah, and you'll never hear me defend Snyder. He's the worst. I cannot stand him. And everything that he touched turns worse. But he's not there in the meeting, to your point about, hey, let's have the Taylor family take the picture in front of the porta potty. That's not like a Snyder directive. That's just a miss. Right, those are controllable things where I think Jason Wright missed.
Let's go to Johnny in Silver Spring. Johnny. On Grant and Danny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
you know, it's kind of tough to follow the guy who just went, but I was going to say, Jason, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, what are we talking about? He changed the name to the freaking Commanders. That's terrible. You know, he changed the burgundy and gold to, like, red and just pink on the white uniforms. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, frankly, it's just this whole, like, he's a nice guy thing. It's not good enough. What does that do for anyone?
Understood.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I get that reaction.
Yeah, and again, for the fan that isn't going to the office with the now Washington Commanders, you're watching on Sunday, you read a couple articles, listen to us, whatever, that doesn't help you at all. And that's kind of the point I come back to. The moments where there's a bridge from the org, here's the outreach, or here's the moment where you're having a fan touch point, one of these activations that he was so proud of, those went poorly. So if I'm a fan and my only perception of somebody is the thing that you're in charge of generally failed, I'm not going to have a great opinion of you. I understand that.
So, and that's what I would go back to is, you know, when he says, or he puts a couple of things like on Jason Wright, maybe it wasn't all him. Like, I don't know if Disco's right or wrong when he says Commanders is Daniel Snyder's cross to bear. Maybe Dan Snyder came up with it, maybe it didn't. But in the same way that when you're a head coach, the win or the loss goes on your record, you didn't throw the pick.
Right.
The rebrand was Jason Wright's. He was the one on the radio explaining why they did what they did with the stitching, why this Comic Sans print, I'm making this up, represents the Third Ward of D.C. And, you know, this color here represents the rivers in Virginia. You remember that whole stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was all Jason Wright. He's explaining it all. He's the face. He's the guy behind it. We did this. I talked to this person. We had this panel. They told us that this one has grown in their eyes over time. We had it on the bottom of the scroll like it was going to be on ESPN to see what it would look like next to a Browns helmet after a Browns game. He was the one telling you all that. And right or wrong, good or bad, he takes a lot of arrows. Maybe it wasn't him. That was the gig. You got to give it to somebody. Dan was on a yacht somewhere, and the yacht tracker was chasing him down, you know, in far-off lands. And Jason Wright was the one holding those meetings. 800-636-1067. How do you feel about his presidency? What does today mean for the name? We should get into that as well on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.